Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Great singing. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together to worship you, to hear the word of God preached. We thank you for all the newest members of Steadfast, the new babies that have been born. I pray that you'd bless them, give them health, Lord, and help their families. And pray that you'd bless the remaining of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, for our second song, we'll go to 195, I Will Sing of the Mercies. 195, I Will Sing of the Mercies. 195, all together.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you don't have a bulletin, lift up your hand nice and high, and one of our ushers can come by, get you guys a bulletin. It's very good to see you guys. This week's memory verse is a short one, so I expect to give away a lot of candy this Wednesday. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So John chapter 1, verse 24. On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times, as well as our church soul winning and regional times. The church-wide soul winning will meet here at 2 o'clock to go back out for soul winning. And we have boxes of invitations and church materials over here. So if you need any kind of soul winning materials or anything like that, you can come and get that information. Make sure to continue reporting all of your soul winning stats and everything like that to your soul winning captain or your tribe captain. And then also we have the expecting ladies. Continue to pray for them. We have our prayer list. If you have any prayer requests that you would like to add to the bulletin, email them, steadfastbaptistkjv@gmail.com, and we'll throw them into the bulletin. And it looks like somebody was Brother Ilya was asking for allergy prayer. I need that. Everybody needs that prayer. Man, it's like the pollen is just like attacking us or something. So it's like they're protesting me everywhere outside. And then upcoming events, we have the Austin, Texas Soul Winning Marathon. We do have a sign-up sheet over here, so make sure to sign up for that. Who's planning on going to Austin this time around? Okay, so a lot more people lifted their hand than are on this sheet. So I see there's a discrepancy. So go ahead and make sure you sign up. Also, we're going to have our Mighty Men's Conference again this year. And we do it different parts of the year, just kind of depending on when the location can have us. But we're going to be doing it in August this year, August 18th through the 20th. And so I think it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be good that it's nice and hot, you know, so that way we can enjoy the pool and the lake and everything like that. And so I'm really excited about that. It's always a fun trip. And basically you come back injured. You can't hardly move. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, my wife was like, it's a retreat. And I'm like, well, you know, definitely is fun. But sometimes I call it like, you know, it's kind of like prison camp. But, you know, it's gotten better over the years. And basically we prepare for it a little bit better every single year. But every guy that seems to go on it really enjoys it. A lot of them came back. And so I highly encourage, if you can go, we'll pretty much go like a Thursday morning. And then we'll stay till about Saturday and leave. If you, for some reason, could only make one day, you're still welcome to come out, and we'll have a guest preacher come out and preach for us as well. And so that's something to put on your calendar. On the back, we have the greatest announcement. Congratulations to Philip and Lauren Milstead on the birth of their daughter, Paris Louise. And she was born Wednesday, April 27th, 1:33 p.m., weighing 7 pounds, 3 ounces, and measuring 19 and a half inches long. Congratulations to them. So that's a really exciting announcement. And then also congratulations to Sonny and Michelle Brooks on the birth of their son, Sonny Alexander. He's born Saturday, April 30th, 3:13 a.m., weighing 7 pounds, 2 ounces, and measuring 21 inches long. So congratulations to them as well. Well, our church family just seems to keep growing, so that's great. And that's pretty much all I do have for announcements at this time. We'll go ahead and go to our third song, song 228. I love to tell the story. 228. I love to tell the story. All right, again, that's 228. I love to tell the story. Let's sing it out. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. Tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story,
'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. Love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Great singing.
As the offering plates are passed around, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and follow along silently starting in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible reads, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our church and for the opportunity that we have to come together and listen to the word of God being preached. I pray that you fill Pastor Shelley with your spirit now and help him to thunder forth the message you've laid on his heart. And Lord, I also pray that you would protect us as we go our separate ways after the service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. The part of the chapter I want to focus is the beginning and look at verse 3 again. The Bible says, But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 is not really a popular chapter of the Bible in modern day America, but it's because our society, it's because our culture has become very extreme in their view on gender roles. And I've been starting a series about extreme views, and really I want to talk about this morning the extreme views on gender roles, the extreme views on gender roles. Now, I will present to you this morning that America has a very extreme view on gender roles today, and it's getting weirder and more extreme. And the Bible, when you study the scripture, it's the truth. So when the devil tries to pervert it, he never perverts it in one direction. He always seems to pervert it in all manner of directions. So when you study any topic in the Word of God, you're going to often find extremes in both directions, essentially, where you're going to find a very over-the-top, liberal, open, just pro-sin type view, and then you're going to have this like over-the-top, extreme, conservative view that really kind of even perverts the scriptures as well. This kind of like holier-than-thou, or really just gets into a weird, extremist type view. But this morning, I want to expose to you two different extremes when it comes to gender roles and kind of show you how the Bible's actually somewhere in the middle of these two extremes, and that what the Bible puts forth is not extreme, but rather it's normal. The Bible is normal. The world is extreme. The world is radical. The world's views and religions that are not Christianity have extreme and bizarre and unusual customs. And the Bible teaches that the Word of God is normal. And you say, how do you know that the Bible is normal? How could you prove that? Well, number one, Scripture, okay? Let me prove to you this in the Bible itself. Look what it says in verse number 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Notice what the Bible appeals to. The Bible appeals to logic. The Bible appeals to nature. The Bible appeals to what's written in man's heart, saying that it's just normal, natural. Everybody can tell that a man having long hair, it's a shame. It's embarrassing. There's something awkward about it. It's something weird about it. And the Bible is saying nature teaches this to you. Just the fact that every person pretty much already knows this and realizes that it's extremely weird for a man to have long hair. Yet, in America, you don't have to go far to find some hippie-haired looking dude. To find some guy, you know, with some kind of a long haircut, some kind of a really strange haircut. Even pastors and preachers today have this strange haircut. Todd White. This guy looks weird. It looks like a weapon or something he's carrying around on his head. Should use the weapon on himself. But the reality is that the world in America is getting extreme when it comes to hair. Now, I do not believe that a man has to shave his head. The Bible doesn't say that he can't have hair. The Bible says that he can't have long hair. So anywhere from short to nothing, that's where men should live. According to the scriptures, according to the Bible, that should be their hairstyle. And notice what it says in verse number 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. So notice what the Bible says. Long hair on women is beautiful. I'm just telling you what the Bible said, okay? Now, Pastor Shelley also agrees with the Bible. Pastor Shelley thinks that long hair is a glory on a woman. It looks great on a woman. It looks terrible on a dude. It looks terrible on a man. And you say, where did you come up with this nature thing? Because what's appealing to me, what's attractive to me, has nothing to do with what religious texts I've read in my life. No, in fact, just every single dude just automatically likes girls with long hair more than short hair. You don't even have to tell them. You don't have to educate them. They could have grown up on an island by themselves their entire life. And then you present them Ellen DeGeneres, okay, and then any other girl with long hair, and they can tell you which one's more attractive. Now, they may not be able to understand why they think that. They may not be able to articulate it right away. But as soon as you point it out, it's like, it's the hair, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's the hair. Exactly. Why? Because the Bible is true, my friend, and the Bible is normal. It's normal for men to have short hair, and it's normal for women to have long hair. Now, if the Bible is so right on this particular aspect, how many other things do you think the Bible's right on? Let me tell you, every single word. Every single verse in the Bible. And obviously, if God wants to tell us about hair length, don't you think he cares about physical appearance then? I mean, how could you look at this verse in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, given to a church? I mean, he's not just giving it to an individual. He's saying, hey, you New Testament church, your women should have long hair and your men should have short hair. Meaning that New Testament Christianity preaches on physical appearance. Yes, it does. And you know what? It's weird when you don't. And you know why people don't? Because they don't want to offend anyone. But you know what offends me? This culture. You know what offends me? Modern day Christianity that won't preach on these topics and acts like a preacher bringing this up is strange or weird. Or why do you have to bring this up? Well, why did Paul bring it up? I mean, literally, you have almost half of a chapter of the New Testament devoted to just hair length. I mean, of all the topics God could cover, I mean, there's a multitude of topics we could discuss. God is saying, hey, I want to make sure you understand this hair distinction. Why? Because there's a difference between men and women. Also, this would be literally impossible to observe if we didn't know what a man and a woman was. Okay, only our government, only the left can't decide what a man and a woman is. It's very obvious. It's very evident. And I'll tell you this. Everyone knows whether they'll admit it or not. Because if you go to the drive-thru, you don't even know what's on the other side of that intercom, but you know it's a sir or ma'am every time. Why? Because there's a difference between men and women. And you can always tell, look, I don't care what you do to a dude, it still looks ugly, all right? And this world that we live in has extreme views. Now, one side of my equation this morning is America. Let me give you the other side of the equation on the extreme views. Islam. Islam has a weird idea on gender. and gender roles. And what's in the middle? The Bible, the Word of God, okay? Now, go if you would to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'm going to cover several topics this morning, and honestly, it really shouldn't be embarrassing what the Bible says, but some people will be embarrassed and shamed of what the Bible says. But you know what you should be embarrassed and shamed of is what Islam says and what America says, not what the Bible says. Now, let me give you some of the Quran this morning, and I'm going to give you a decent amount of quotes here because I want to not defeat a straw man this morning. I want to give you what their text literally says. Now, of course, in, you know, Islam and the Quran, it's originally in Arabic, it's translated in English, there's several different translators. I pretty much took all of my quotes from their, like, Sahih International, okay? So it's kind of like a more standardized translation. If you don't like their translation, take it up with an Arab, okay? But, and of course, anything I bring up, they'll probably say, well, it's better in Arabic. No, it's not, okay? No. It's better if you sing it. No, it's not. But here is a quote from the Quran. It says, your wives are as tilth unto you. So approach your tilth when and how ye will. But do some good act for your souls beforehand and fear Allah. And know that ye are to meet him in the hereafter and give these good tidings to those who believe. So the Quran, you know, in us reading the Quran, it's really if you just basically like, had someone record Joe Biden speaking for a while. That's about how coherent the Quran is. I was like, I can't understand the Quran, but I was like, it's like Joe Biden talking. And then just basically they, you know, recorded it. But they call women literal tilth in the Quran. And let me give you the real word, dirt. Women are basically just dirt in the religion of Islam. Okay? Now, tilth is like till dirt, so it's a little bit better. It's like fertile dirt, okay? So instead of just being dirt, you guys are fertile dirt, according to Islam. That's an extreme view on women. What is the Bible's view on women? 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So according to the Bible, a woman is a weaker vessel, meaning what? She's not as strong as a man. And this could be applied in several areas. The most obvious would be physically speaking, okay? Men are taller, bigger, stronger, faster, every single category, every single sport, every single activity that's physical, men are better than women, period. Why is it that across this country, high schools have to constantly try and stop banning men from entering women's sports, but there isn't a single ban on women entering men's sports? Why do I, you know, please stop all these women from taking over the football arena and taking over MMA and taking over golf and taking over every, I mean, probably the only sport they could compete in is like NASCAR or something because it's not a real sport. Sorry if you're NASCAR fans. But anything that actually takes some kind of a physicality, women have no chance. There's no chance in tennis. There's no chance in football. There's no chance in track. There's no chance in swimming. There's no chance in any of these physical type sports. Zero chance. Why? Because men are stronger than women. You say, oh, that means women are worse. No. Wait a minute. What did the Bible say? Giving honor unto the wife. Just because she may be weaker doesn't make her worse or less. It makes her different. Okay, two things can be different. One can be stronger and the other one lighter. And the lighter one even be better in some cases. Okay, it's not about who's stronger makes you better. It's about being different. Men are different than women. And notice that the Bible teaches that men don't look at women as being weaker and say, oh, you're fertile dirt. No. We give them honor as saying, you are beautiful the way you are. We love you the way you are. Be you. Don't try to be something different. And don't try to be me. What does American culture try to teach women to do? To be a man. So one extreme, they're fertile dirt. The other extreme, turn them into men, or there's no difference between men and women, which is what American culture is trying to teach today. And think about this. Essentially, they're assaulting women anyways. They're saying women are not okay being women. There's something wrong with a woman being feminine. There's something wrong with a woman being weaker. There's something wrong with a woman being like a woman. They need to be like a man. They need to get a job like a man. They need to play sports like a man. They need to dress and talk like a man. They need to look like men. But you know what? I want women to look like women today and give honor unto the women that want to be a woman today. Oh, you're weird. You're extreme. You hate women. No. You hate women to teach them they need to be a man. You hate women to call them fertile dirt. The Bible says to give them honor. And people say, oh, you're extreme. No, you don't know what extreme is. The Bible is normal. You are extreme. You are the one that's been radicalized to think something different than what the scriptures teach today. And what religion, what extreme do you want to go to? Fertile dirt or to women becoming men? I don't want to go to either. I want to say a woman is a beautiful creation that God has created, and we give them honor and we dwell with them according to knowledge. The knowledge that they are a woman, and we don't want to change that. In fact, we want to encourage them to be as much of a woman as possible. What's one of those things? Having long hair, as we already saw. Now, of course, when it comes to women's rights, there's going to be extremes as well. Now, when it comes to the phrase women's rights, I usually object because I think of it from an American perspective. However, I do believe that women should have some rights. The question is not whether or not women have rights or not, but what are those rights? In American culture, women are trying to become men in the rights category and have all the same quote-unquote rights. What would those rights be? Like voting. I personally don't think women should be able to vote. I don't even really agree with voting anyways in this, you know. And really, apparently, Democrats don't either because they've been, you know, taking that away. That's a different sermon. I don't think that women should be men in any of the capacity. You know, women, I don't believe, should be working in the workforce the same as men. And I'm not going to go there to prove this, but according to the Bible, not Pastor Shelley, according to the Bible, men should be paid more money than women. In Leviticus chapter number 27, men have a higher wage associated with their work than a woman does. Why? Because men can work harder, lift more things, do more physical activity. Now, I think the principle that's being taught in Leviticus, though, is not that men should just always be paid more than women, but that you should be paid according to your skill level. Meaning that if a woman is incapable of doing the same job as a man, then she should be paid less because of that. But let's just say hypothetically, a woman was capable of doing the job better than a man, then pay her more than the man would, right? People should be paid according to their skill. People should be paid according to what's fair and just and equal. It's just when we're talking about physical labor, women would never be able to compete with men, and it'd be absurd to pay them the same rate. You know, I think they claim in America the gender gap is like 86 cents on the dollar, you know, and this varies all the time. According to the Bible, it's 60 cents on the dollar. So I think they're paying women too much. I'm just saying. Well, you're just offensive. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. What would be the other extreme? Because you think I'm extreme? How about Islam? In Saudi Arabia, it's illegal for a woman to have a driver's license. And in Yemen, it's illegal for a woman to leave the house without her husband's permission. Now, you think that I'm extreme, okay? Now, of course, I agree that husbands should be in control of their wives and should lead them and give them instructions and everything like that. But if my wife, for some reason, disobeyed me and left the house, I don't want the government to punish her. That's a weird society that you live in where the government is enforcing these kind of rules on women. And, you know, I want my wife to be able to drive. I want my wife to be able to have a driver. I mean, that's weird when you start going into these strange categories. And you say, well, why did you make a dividing line on voting versus driving? Well, here's the thing. The Bible teaches that a woman's not supposed to usurp the authority over the man. So a woman voting is usurping the authority over a man. But you know what? A woman driving is not usurping the authority over, okay? I pass them every time I'm driving down the road anyways, all right? No, I'm just kidding. But you say, oh, you're extreme. Go to Matthew chapter 19. I'm not extreme. The Bible is normal. If you don't like what I'm preaching, you're extreme. If you don't like what the Bible says on these topics, you're the one that's been radicalized. You're the one that's confused. I'm not confused, and the Bible's not confused today. The Bible is normal. The Bible is natural. And in fact, when you go out through history, many of the things I'm saying were what everyone believed. It's only in the modern times where the gender roles of America have changed and radicalized so much that it's unrecognizable, the country we live in, from what it used to be. It's unrecognizable from the Word of God. But don't think that the Bible's this random extreme book. No, no. The random extreme book is called the Quran. So the devil always is going to pervert in every single direction, okay? And of course, if you go to Islam, you women will know what women's rights are really about, okay? I mean, go to a Muslim country and then tell me you don't have freedom. Then tell me that, oh man, it's so restrictive over here. Or, my husband's so restrictive. Well, get married to someone that's a practicing Muslim, a practicing Islamist, you know, of the Shiite brand. And then you can tell me that Christianity is restrictive. You don't know what restrictive is. In fact, throughout history, it's been more like that kind of a custom than it's been this American feminism type extreme. For the majority of history, most cultures, most environments have a much closer culture to that of Islam in regards to women and women rights than a modern American culture, okay? So don't think that I'm up here just giving you these random hyperbolic straw men. We're talking about real-world examples. Right now, if you are a woman and live in Saudi Arabia, you can't drive. If you're a woman and lives in Yemen right now, if you leave your house without your husband's permission, you can be punished by the government. I didn't make that up. This is just quotes from, you know, their laws. Now, here's another weird extreme when it comes to marriage. In Islam, it teaches that men can marry is multiple women, okay, which is known as polygamy. In the Quran, in Surah 4, it says, if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with orphans, marry women of your choice, 2 or 3 or 4. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only 1. Or a captive that your right hands possess that will be more suitable to prevent you from doing injustice. So apparently, if you feel like you can justly have 4 wives, then go for it. But if you can't justly have four wives, just have 1, okay? What does that even mean? That's extreme. But in Islam, Islamic countries, women can't have multiple husbands. Notice that they have a complete hypocritical stance where men can have 4 wives, women can only have 1 husband. The Bible doesn't teach this. Now, some people have lied about the Bible and tried to say, oh, the Bible teaches polygamy. Show me a verse in the Bible that says have 2, 3, or 4 wives. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. The Bible says that the king wasn't supposed to multiply wives. The Bible gives a provision in the Old Testament law of if you find yourself in that situation, what you're supposed to do. But it doesn't say that as a prescriptive commandment, like please get multiple wives if you can do okay with it, if you're just about it. There's nothing just about that. Look at Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 4. And he answered and said to them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be 1 flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but 1 flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So according to the Bible, according to the word of God, it's 1 man and 1 woman. And they become 1 flesh, meaning there is no 2 separate persons where the man can then still be enjoined to other women. And in America, right now, as I understand it, polygamy is still illegal. However, that is being questioned severely. In California and in other states, they are trying to get it where people can join in marriage in these multiple group type scenarios. Throuples or whatever. I wish I'd never even heard that word before. Or multiple groups of people. And in America, we've already perverted this. We say that men can marry men. And women can marry women. And where's the limit to that? When are they going to say that men can't marry a chihuahua? You think I'm joking? Look, that's when it gets extreme. And we're already getting there. But American culture is extreme on these views. And it's getting weirder and weirder by the moment. Islam is super weird and perverted. What does the Bible teach? One man, one woman. You say, well, why is there all these Old Testament pictures of men having multiple wives? Well, number one, because men are sinners. But you know what? God didn't like it. In Genesis chapter number 6, when the sons of God are marrying the daughters of men, God gets angry. God doesn't like that. I'm pretty sure he destroyed the entire earth in that section of scripture, didn't he? And not every man of God was like that. When did Job have multiple wives? When did Isaac and Rebekah, it's Isaac and Rebekah. It's Job and his wife. And now when we fast forward to the New Testament, show me one of the New Testament apostles that had multiple wives. When does it say Peter's wives and John's wives and Andrew's wives? Doesn't say that. The apostle Paul constantly affirms what Jesus said, let every man have his own wife. And let every wife have her own husband. Not multiple, though. And in fact, Jesus and Paul both bring up the fact that if you're with another person, it's adultery. Meaning that's a wicked sin. The Bible is not extreme here. One man, one woman is normal. Having multiple is weird. And then the other side of American culture that's getting extreme and weird, too, is just no marriage. I would say that's very common. Many people are forsaking marriage in America today, and it is weird, it is bizarre, it's sin. It is weird to just live with another person and not be committed because of the ramifications of that relationship. And then what do you get? You get all kinds of bastard children, all kinds of alimony, all kinds of strange arrangements. You have women that will have 5, 6 children with 5 or 6 different men. How is that a family? What are these children supposed to do in these relationships, in these situations, when their mother is a literal whore? This makes no sense. And you say, oh, it's so restrictive. No, sin is restrictive. It's called child support. In fact, when you are found guilty by the government of child support, you know what they do? They strip that out of your bank account without you asking. You don't have to say like, hey, bank, will you please pay my child support for me? No, 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 no. They find out where you're banking. They get your account, and they basically just start stripping it out of there, just whatever portion that they want. You don't get any say. And if you're on a back order, they can even tack on possible fines, penalties, all manner of other things to your paycheck. And you didn't get to ask. It wasn't a question. Oh, women are stuck with the baby. Okay, well, men are stuck with this eternal debt. Actually, I think at 18 it ends. Or if she marries someone else, I think somehow that can possibly end child support. Well, maybe alimony. But child support is just there forever. It's permanent. You know, child support's another picture of the fact that, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. Because once you're someone's child, you're forever their child. And, hey, they don't take the money out of some other dude's bank account. If it's your child, it's coming out of your bank account. Okay, you're paying for it. Now, go if you would to Proverbs chapter number 9. Look, extreme views on gender roles, don't think of the Bible as extreme. I'm trying to help you understand. There are extremes out there, but it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is normal. What have we learned so far? That we should have one man and one woman getting married. The man should have short hair. The woman should have long hair. So radical. This is normal. This is natural. Even people that aren't saved and know none of the Bible, this is what they really want anyways. You see, the world, they want to get married, and they want to have one man, one woman. They think being unfaithful, being an adulterer is a wicked lifestyle. They don't like it. Our government punishes it with all kinds of fines and criminal penalties, even still today. This multiple person relationship's never going to work. And show me a successful polygamous relationship in the Bible. Even if you did say, oh, I think it teaches it. Well, it teaches a really bad example. When did you see the polygamy working out? In fact, David, he had a lot of wives, but it said his best friend, he liked him, Jonathan, more than any of his wives. Meaning what? The more you add, it's not like you're going to like him anymore. And in fact, it's probably going to be worse. If you actually want to love your wife more than your best friend, you need to have one and stick with her and develop an intimate relationship with her. Now, in Proverbs chapter number 9, I want to get there in just a second, but I want to talk about another weird extreme that comes with gender roles, and that's on literacy. Literacy is the ability to read. In Islam, because their pedophile prophet, Muhammad, could not read, they have a severe problem with literacy, but it's extremely affecting women. Because they restrict women so much and they have so many, you know, over-the-top boundaries for women and they have this strange view that she's fertile dirt, they essentially don't allow them to learn how to read very much. I looked up some statistics. There was an organization, UNESCO, UNESCO, estimates that the literacy rate among adult women in Muslim countries is about 50% or less. So less than half of the women in Muslim-controlled countries cannot even read. Probably because they don't want them to read about how they're tilled dearth and their stupid Quran. Or they want them to read it at all. And think about it, most of the Quran's sung. Because you could have stupid lyrics and sing them and people just think it's great. I was thinking of this song for the Backstreet Boys, and I was thinking about just modern pop music. You never even know what they're saying. And people will just sing songs, and they have no idea what it means whatsoever. This Backstreet song is like, I want it that way. But here's the thing. What do they want? And in what way do they want it? I have no idea. They don't know. You don't know. They just sing it. They just get up, how many songs do they come out when you're a teenager or a young adult and you would sing it and you have like no idea what the lyrics are actually saying? I mean, one person. All right, well, one worldly person. I would say almost every song. In fact, most of the time I didn't even know what the real lyrics were. You kind of like make them up or you kind of just fill in the gaps or you change it in your mind. Because songs people just sing. So it's with the Quran, they're just singing. They don't even know what they're saying. But if you sit down and start reading it, you're like, ah! If you start reading it, it makes no sense. And women in these countries, they can't even read. Why would you want to live in a society that says women aren't even allowed to read? Well, I guess if you teach their dirt. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She has sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest place of the city. Now, according to the Bible, wisdom is personified as a woman, and it's giving attributes of a wise woman. Notice that a wise woman would do what? Would build her house. So, why do I bring up this verse? Because Christianity teaches that women should be keepers at home. And I'm going to get to some of these verses, but they teach that women should guide the house. But you know what it does not teach? That women should be stupid. That women shouldn't be able to read and write and have any kind of level of intelligence. You know, we should never be holding back women from any level of knowledge or wisdom or any understanding they could possibly have. Okay. There's nothing in the Bible that teaches that women should be stupid or shouldn't be able to read. In fact, I believe that every person should be taught to read and write. The Bible literally commands us to read the scriptures in many different places, to study the scriptures. And I want women to study and read the Bible just as much as men. And even if it's more, God bless them. I mean, they got to teach the children at home. Maybe they have even more time afforded to them to read the Bible and to study the Word of God and to gain knowledge. And not just the Bible, learn all manner of subjects. I mean, they're teaching my child, they're teaching them how to read, write, arithmetic, science, history, all kinds of different subjects that are really important. I want my wife to be as educated as humanly possible. There's nothing wrong with a woman being educated. But I don't want to say that she needs to be educated to then leave the home. And what is American culture trying to say? It's trying to drive women into colleges to get degrees in gender studies and to become the corporate CEO and to become the marketing manager and to become all these other professions and all these other careers. The Bible teaches that a woman should build her house. Notice what the Bible said. Skip down and look at verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Although American culture tries to pretend that they want women to be intelligent, I will submit to you, though, if you follow the course of American culture, your women will be very foolish and very stupid. Do you really believe that Kamala Harris is an intelligent woman? This woman is not well-educated. This woman is not well-studied. Even of the women that are well-educated and studied, they typically are conservative, but they're not conservative enough. Because if they were conservative enough, they would get their mouth shut and go back in the kitchen and make a sandwich. Why? Because they'd have the wisdom from God, not just the wisdom of this world. Okay? They wouldn't be the Candace Owens of this world. They wouldn't be the Ally Beth Stuckey or whatever. They wouldn't be, what is the woman who's running for president potentially? Sarah Palin. Yeah, they wouldn't be the Sarah Palin. They'd be the Sarah from the Bible. Calling her husband Lord and staying home. Not making their husband go out and campaign for them or something. Go if you would to Proverbs 31. Go to Proverbs 31. I think that's extreme. No. Islam's extreme when you can't even read. That's extreme. But having your wives stay home and raise the kids is not extreme. It's normal. It's natural. In fact, nothing makes more sense than this. Why would I believe that a strange woman is going to teach my child better than my wife? And let me tell you a little secret. Did you realize that the vast, vast, vast majority of teachers and college professors are women? I mean, it's not like, hey, let's get a bunch of men to teach our children or my wife. It's like a bunch of dykes, a bunch of lesbians and leftists to teach my children in the public school system or my wife. Which one makes more sense? Let me tell you, my wife. And your bizarre thinking, if you believe that the public school system is normal or natural, to get a bunch of random women that don't care about my children to try and teach them subjects that the government has ordained as the right history. You know, they've been talking about recently this Disinformation Governance Board. It's a Department of Homeland Security organization that Biden wants to set up. And they're saying, who wants to let the government decide what's true? Have you ever heard of public school? Like, they haven't been doing this for decades. They haven't been deciding what's going to go in the history books. They haven't been deciding for decades that evolution should be taught in the public school system. They haven't been teaching that particular test questions need to be non-binary or non-gender conforming or have two dudes or to teach them all about what goes on in the bedroom. Look, when I went to junior high, I was taught what went on in the bedroom from the public school and not by my parents. Who was taught more from public school about what goes on in the bedroom than their parents? Virtually every person in here. How does that seem normal? How does it seem normal that strangers are telling our children what to do and what not to do and how to do it and where to do it? That is bizarre. And who's deciding this curriculum? The government. School boards. Why would you not let the Word of God tell you who's going to teach and train your children? The Bible makes it clear in Deuteronomy who should be teaching the children, the parents, the mom and the dad. And obviously the mom is the primary teacher. Look at Proverbs 31, look at verse 27. She looketh well the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Notice that the great woman in the Bible is at the house. Go, if you would, to Titus chapter number 2. Go to Titus chapter number 2. And I'm gonna stick on this point for just a moment. But obviously, Islam has it right that women should be in the household. But then they have it wrong because she's stupid. She can't even read. How is that woman going to teach her children? And why do you think that so many Islamists are literally stupid? It's because their mom's stupid. It's because their mom hasn't been educated, hasn't been given information. And I'm not saying it's their fault. It's the men of that culture that are holding them back and making them stupid on purpose just to be fertile dirt. But you know what? That's an extreme view that I don't want to get to. And the other extreme would be kicking her out of the household and having someone else educate her. Or having some other person educate your children. No, no, no. We need the moms and dads of today to educate their children and educate the next generation and to not let Islam or not let American government teach them. I don't care what extreme you want to go to. Both are wicked. Titus chapter number 2. Look what the Bible says. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becoming cometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So we have older women teaching, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. So notice as the primary instructor, older women to younger women. And they're teaching them how to have good behavior. What kind of behavior? Soberness, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. How about this phrase? Keepers at home. Keepers at home. I didn't make up the Bible. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible is saying that women should be a keeper at home. You say, I don't like this verse. Well, you don't like things that are normal in the Bible. Don't get mad at me for preaching the Bible this morning. You get mad at all the people that have lied to you about what's normal. If you feel uncomfortable with the Bible, that tells me you watch a lot of TV and you went to a lot of public school. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 5, or you were raised in Islam, okay? But if you're raised in Islam, please let us help you learn how to read. And something that actually, you know, I can understand why women don't read if the only option was the Quran. That would be pretty, you know, that would be a tough decision. Like, learn how to read and only read the Quran or not read. It's like, because the Quran, it's always been and probably always will be, in my opinion, the absolute worst literature that's ever been written. It is so incoherent. And I'm going to give you a couple more quotes here towards the end of my sermon, but it's so bad. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, look at verse number 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Notice that the women are supposed to what? Guide the house. And doing anything other is what? Satanic. It's satanic. I didn't make up the Bible. I didn't write it. Go to Deuteronomy 22. Go to Deuteronomy 22. So what has the Bible taught us this morning? Men should have short hair. Women should have long hair. Men should marry one woman. Men should teach their wives how to read. And women should teach their children how to read. So extreme, right? I mean, isn't that just so radical this morning, what we've learned so far, that the Bible's teaching? No, everything else is extreme. So when I get to this next part, let me clarify for you again. This is not extreme, what the Bible says on this subject. What does the Bible teach? That men should dress like men and women should dress like women. That doesn't sound extreme, but for some reason, people freak out when you bring this up. People freak out seeing it. People freak out thinking about it. It's not that scary, okay? We're going to read this verse, and we're all going to be okay, all right? Deuteronomy 22, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination of the Lord thy God. Everybody okay? I hope I didn't hurt you too bad. This means that Caitlyn Jenner is an abomination. Is that really difficult for me to convince you of that? For some reason, this is a one-sided, uncomfortable conversation. Because any dude that I bring up wearing dresses and skirts, I don't even have to convince you. You're thinking inside like, yeah, woo, preach it. Because it's weird. It's perverted. It's gross. But for some reason, you go to the other side of the aisle and you talk about women dressing like men and everybody freaks out. But I'm telling you, it's the same thing. As gross as you find a dude wearing a dress is the same you should find a woman wearing pants and dressing like a dude. I didn't write the Bible. You know why you don't think it's weird? Because you were raised in America. If you were raised in Islam, you wouldn't think that was weird. You would think it's gross for a woman to put on a pair of blue jeans and look like Ellen DeGeneres. That would be weird. And you know, for people that are older, it's easier to understand this. The younger generation really struggle because they don't know any different. But back in the earlier decades of American history, this was always the case. It was the exact same. And I just don't know why it's extreme to think that women should dress like women and men should dress like men. Now people say, well, the Bible didn't say pants here. Okay, so then what garment? The people that disagree with me, they will not provide a garment. Why? Because it's pants. There's no other option. That's why. Just like a skirt or a dress is the only option for a dude. Okay. I didn't make this up. It's very clear in the scripture. I'm not going to take all the time to prove it to you because honestly, if you don't already agree with me, it's not like I have to prove it to you. It's just you're stubborn and rebellious. That's why. But look at the last verse in this chapter. Notice it says, in Deuteronomy 22, if you look at this very last verse, verse 30, a man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. So notice the Bible already told us that a woman's garment is a skirt. So for all of you naysayers, there's the Bible saying that a woman is pictured as an article of clothing. It's called a skirt. And virtually every bathroom in America still today, they will tell you the only difference between the men and women's restroom is a dude wearing pants and a girl wearing a skirt. And they have the same haircut, okay? They're in violation of 1 Corinthians 11. I'm offended by the sign. They should add a long hair. But they don't even tell you by the haircut. They only tell you by the article of clothing, whether it's a triangle or just two separate lines, and you know. It doesn't even have to say men or women. Sometimes it'll say gents and ladies or other silly things, or sometimes it literally says nothing. And I don't care if it's an Asian, I don't care if it's a foreigner from India, from Mexico, from China, they can look at that picture and they know which bathroom to use. And if you get mad at me for saying that pants are a man's garment, then you know what? You're lying to yourself. Because you know it, and I know it, the Bible knows it, and the devil knows it. And those stupid transgender ones, they put like a half skirt and half pants. Because they're freaks. But what does Islam say? Islam not only has dresses for skirts, they have the hijab. You think that wearing a dress and a skirt is extreme? Have you ever seen an Islamic woman dress? She has to cover every square inch of her body except her eyes and her hands. And the more extreme versions of this. And it comes from the Quran. In the Quran it says, and say to the believing women that they should lower their gaze and guard their modesty, and they should not display their beauty and ornaments except what must ordinarily appear thereof. That they should draw the veils over their bosoms and not display their beauty except to their husbands. Now, in the Quran, it's very vague in its application. So that's why some Islamicists disagree on the hijab. But in the more strict traditional Islamic cultures, women, if they're caught without their hijab in public, they can be beaten or even killed at times. And they're called example killings to essentially just threaten all the women in their culture not to go outside of their home without that entire garment. This just blanket covering their entire body. Makes me think of a weird Baptist that wants every woman to wear a blanket when they, you know, breastfeed or whatever. It's weird. There's weird extremes in every, you know, what does American culture say? Take off all your clothes. What does Islam say? Put on so many clothes we can only see your eyes. These are weird. What does the Bible say? Hey, cover your reproductive areas in the garment that God created for you. That's normal. That's natural. Here's what else the Quran says in this. Those who harass believing men and believing women undeservedly, I guess you can do it deservedly, bear on themselves a calumny and a grievous sin. O prophet, enjoin your wives, your daughters, and the wives of true believers that they should cast their outer garments over their persons when abroad. That is most convenient, that they may be distinguished and not harassed. So basically saying cast these outer garments over their persons is kind of giving this vague, veiled picture of the hijab, okay, or hijab, or however you want to say it. I don't really care. It's stupid. But they put a lot of social pressure on these women. Don't tell me that me saying that my wife should wear a dress or a skirt is extreme. You don't know what extreme is, buddy. Islam's extreme. Or to tell my wife to look like me. That's weird. What, do you want my wife to be in a suit today and be co-pastor? Like Victoria Ulstein or something? Get up here, have a short haircut. We'd have the same haircut, same suit on. I mean, we're about the same height, maybe same, you know, everything, same belt. Wouldn't that be cool? Or maybe she should wear the suit and I should wear the dress. Is that what you want? I'm trying to help you understand that the Bible is normal, it's natural, everything else is bizarre. I looked at an article in 2013 in Paris, France, not Paris, Texas, okay, Paris, France. They overturned a law. The law made it illegal for females to wear pants. Do you not realize in the 1800s, it was illegal for women to wear pants in France? And it wasn't until 2013 that they finally struck the law off the books. A couple hundred years later. 214 or 13 years or something like that. There's a country in Africa. You say, that's weird. That's extreme. No, no. You know why that was where that's coming from? Christianity. Christianity. But why is it in Paris, France? I'll tell you why. All of the cities that have laws against women wearing pants are the most liberal hellhole type areas because they were the first areas for women to start pushing the limits and start doing that which is wicked. So that's where the law started getting passed. Same as with any sin or any sin area. Where's the first laws on divorce? California. Why? Because that was the first area where everybody's trying to get a no-fault divorce is in California. So the first area where women are starting to try and wear pants was what? France. That's why they had to pass laws making it illegal for women to wear pants. And the same applies in America, where the most liberal places had laws, literally, in America of women wearing pants. But in the world today, in a country called Swaziland. It's in Africa, okay? It's real. They're called Swazis. It is illegal for women to wear pants. Now, let me tell you, 90% of their country is Christian. That's not weird. That is the normal. What's weird is Islam saying wear hijab. What's weird is America, which says, hey, women, wear nothing or dress like a dude. That is weird. In 1849 in Ohio, they passed a law saying that women, everyone, specifically, were not allowed to dress not belonging to his or her sex. And there was many laws all the way up until World War I. In fact, 45 cities in the U.S. passed anti-cross-dressing laws. San Francisco, California, oh, that's a shock, was one of the approximate 45 cities to have criminalized cross-dressing. So think of like the most liberal cities in America, booming large areas. What would be like the most liberal booming city of Texas past? Austin's more liberal, but Austin's kind of a new development. Austin didn't used to be that big. It's kind of new big because of the technology. Houston. Houston has always been the liberal mega center for Texas. So you know what? In Houston, they literally had a city ordinance making it illegal for women to wear pants. And you know who liberated all of those Houstonian women and allowed them to wear pants? Phyllis Fry, some transgender freak. Some dude that wanted to go up and down dressed in a dress on the Broadway. He got in the city council. He got the law passed. In fact, until 1969, most areas, it was still illegal for women to wear pants, but it wasn't until the Stonewall Riots of 1969 that encouraged many cities to drop or stop enforcing these statutes against men and women cross-dressing. And of course, who were the biggest proponents of this? Men wearing dresses. So because men want to wear dresses, it afforded women to finally wear pants in America. That's why I said Deuteronomy 22:5 is the exact same. When women put on pants, they should think of Caitlyn Jenner. In fact, they should write her a thank you letter. Phyllis Fry is still alive today. I'm pretty sure you should write her a thank you note for wearing your pants out in public. All of you Texas women. I don't like this. I'm just telling you the facts. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Now, you say, why are so many women wearing pants? Because monkey see, monkey do. You know, in the 1950s, it was inappropriate for a woman to wear a bikini. But then a song came out. The itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. And the whole song was talking about how the girl was afraid to go out in public wearing it. Because why? Because it was a shame. Because it was embarrassing to be naked out in public wearing a bikini. It was risque. If you look up the history on this song, and I just looked at the Wikipedia history, it says this. The story told through the three verses of the song is as follows. The young lady is too afraid to leave the locker where she has changed into her bikini. She has made it to the beach but sits on the sand wrapped in a blanket. She has finally gone in the ocean but is too afraid to come out and stays immersed in the water despite the fact that she's turning blue to hide herself from view. It says, 2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore. Meaning that everybody's going to gossip about this whorish woman, my friend. It's in part of the song. Stick around and we'll tell you more. Heard after the first chorus. In an interview, Greg Urbar in the cartoon music book edited by Daniel Goldmark, I wonder what he is, said he ghosted the arrangement for the song for Johnny Dixon, and Dixon had taken on more work than he could handle at the time. So basically, Hollywood picks this up. It's from Europe, is where this song originally is coming from. And then it came over by Goldman into America. It's by Brian Hyland. He was the guy that basically popularized the song or made the song. At the time when bikini bathing suits were still seen as too risque to be mainstream, the song promoted or prompted a sudden takeoff in bikini sales. So it's not appropriate, but then as soon as the song comes out, bikini sales just skyrocket in America. It is credited to being one of the earliest contributors to the acceptance of the bikini in society. The early 1960s saw a slew of surf movies and other film and television productions that rapidly built on the song's momentum. So you know why women wear bikinis in public now? Because of Hollywood and because of Hollywood. And because of Hollywood. And because people wanted to sell it. Money. Oh, the love of money is the root of all evil. Because they popularize a song and put it in movies and put it in music and put it in TV, and they just cram it down America's throat, and then as soon as one girl does it, 10 do it. 100 do it, 1,000 do it, everyone does it. One girl wears pants, the next girl, 10 girls wear pants, 100 girls wear pants, pretty soon every girl's wearing pants. And let me tell you the new one here in a second, but it makes me think of the COVID mask. It's like, why did everybody wear a COVID mask? Because one person started doing it, then 10 people started doing it, then 100 people started doing it, and then it was kind of forced on you too, obviously. But I'm like, what's the difference between just putting on the COVID mask like everybody else and just putting on the pants like everybody else? I'm just thinking, like, who's making you do this? It's just the world. You're just literally just zombies to the television today. Just, what do I do? What do I wear? Where do I go? That's extreme to say, I'm going to let a bunch of God-hating Jews in Hollywood tell me what to wear, how to dress, and what to do. I'm going to let some transgender freak, help get laws off the books so that I can dress in a more liberating way. Yeah, obviously we should take off the hijab, okay? Yeah, I get that that's an extreme. But you know what? Telling women to wear a dress or a skirt is not extreme. You're extreme for thinking that women shouldn't wear it. You're extreme for thinking that men shouldn't wear pants. And they start making pants even tighter. Make pants loose again. So hard to find loose pants. And you know what? I get it. I mean, it's hard to find. But try, at least, okay? Please try. Please help set a new trend. You know, it used to be they were too baggy, okay, without a belt. Let's find the middle, okay? The Bible is always the middle, all right? Get some kind of loose pants. Get the belt nice and tight. All right, dress like a man. You know, the Bible says in Romans that we're supposed to renew our mind. But you know what? The new woman garment today is leggings. And when I say leggings, I'm not talking about just wearing them. I'm saying that's the only thing she's wearing. Why? Because the movies and TV started doing it. And then 10 girls started doing it. And then 100 girls started doing it. And now everybody's doing it. Well, go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Just because it's popular doesn't make it right. And in fact, I looked up leggings as pants, a Wikipedia article, okay? Leggings as pants, Wikipedia article. This is what Wikipedia said about it. There has been a societal debate about whether leggings are clothing on their own, which can be worn without covering. I think I had you go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. The only thing I was going to have you say in there and in other verses, the Bible says that women should dress in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety is what the Bible says. God cares about your clothing. And you know what? Not only should you dress feminine, women, you should dress modest. And let me tell you something. It's immodest to be naked. And the Bible describes nakedness as exposing any part of your thigh and the reproductive area. And let me tell you, what is the leggings all about? Exposing all of that area. And there's nothing wrong with wearing socks, stockings, leggings. But you know what? You should have a skirt or a dress over top of that. Otherwise, you're naked. Yeah, it's still feminine. Look, if I saw a dude in leggings or a lady in leggings, I know which one's feminine. Both. No dude wearing leggings looks normal, okay? If I was only wearing leggings, please run away. Please don't even come to church. I'm not saying that leggings are pants, okay? But they're worn as the replacement for pants. Because instead of basically women wearing blue jeans now, they just wear leggings. And let me tell you why. It's because women know that jeans are not feminine. So they have basically a crisis. Do I dress like a dude or do I dress like a girl but kind of naked? And we know where they all went. Where did they go? They went to the naked one. Let me tell you, both are wrong. I disagree with both of them. The Bible disagrees with both, because how is that modest? And every guy that's straight knows that a girl only wearing leggings is not modest. Don't lie to me. Don't come up to me and say, I think it's really modest for women to be in literally only yoga pants as their bottom, exposing all of that part of their area. You're a liar, okay? You're a young single guy that's not married yet, okay? And you're lying if you're saying that because you want it to happen or something, pervert. Look at Proverbs chapter number 7 about the whorish woman. It says in verse number 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. Yes, there is clothing that you can wear that still makes you look like a whore. What? A bikini. What? Just wearing leggings with a t-shirt or a midriff or a sports bra, that is immodest. And you know what? As fundamental Baptists, we should go back to a normal and not let America tell us what's normal. Don't let Islam tell us what's normal. Let the Bible tell you what's normal. And you know what? Men and women should cover their nakedness. And you know what? My boxer briefs are not covering my nakedness. My pants are. Okay, underwear is not appropriate to cover that alone. No. You need to have an outer garment. oh, this is Islam. No, you don't even know what Islam is. And you are literally just falling victim for what the Jews want you to do. And when I say Jews, I mean the synagogue of Satan. And when I mean the synagogue of Satan, I mean those that are the ministers of the devil. Literally. They worship the devil. They perform child sacrifice in secret. They are the most rampant pedophiles involved in all manner of sex trafficking, and they're telling you how to dress. Why? Because they want to make that which goes on the bedroom normal in our society as just an open, obvious thing so they can bring in pedophilia. By you bringing in whoredom, you're helping them bring in pedophilia. I'm telling you what the agenda is. This is what Wikipedia said about leggings as pants. It said in a 2016 poll of its readers, Glamour magazine said that 61% of its readers thought that leggings should only be worn as an accessory. Glamour magazine said that more than half of people, just Americans, still believe that. Not only that, it said in an article in Good Housekeeping concluded that leggings do in fact count as pants provided they are opaque enough that they don't show your underwear. So Good Housekeeping says wear them as the only garment. 61% of Americans still say that it's nakedness. In fact, there have been a number of instances of people wearing leggings as pants who have been restricted or criticized for their actions. In 2013, schools in Sonoma County, California, banned students from wearing them as outerwear. Look, when California is telling you that it's not right, you've crossed the line. And of course, why is it happening in California? Because I'm telling you, all the laws come from the weirdest places. Because that's where it starts. When they have little teenage girls going around showing off their nakedness, even the public school in California said no! And then you get mad at a fundamental Baptist for saying the same thing? How weird are you going to get? How much TV and music and Hollywood are you going to let creep into your mind and turn you into a pervert like them? That's what they want to do. They want to take a good-hearted, God-fearing man and woman and turn them into perverts like them. Turn them into harlots like them. Don't do it. Now, I'm not going to go around and pass laws. I'm not going to make a rule in my church. But you know what? I'm not going to not preach it either. I remember some lady was talking to me about how the church didn't like her tattoos when I was out soul winning. And I said, well, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with you coming to church with tattoos as long as you don't have a problem with me preaching against them. You know, I don't have to make rules. I'll just preach the Bible and it'll basically fix the problem because people feel so uncomfortable they won't probably want to be around that. And that's fine because I don't want people to associate with my church that look like perverts. Why would I want that? Why would I, when California, the California public school looks better than a fundamental Baptist church, isn't that a mockery and a shame to the God of the Bible? Not only this, schools in Oklahoma, Illinois, North Carolina have done the same thing. Montana, they've banned leggings and yoga pants. In 2017 in March, three children flying on a company pass were barred from boarding a United Airlines flight. United Airlines said no to women wearing only leggings. And then United Airlines defended that position. So not only did the stewardess say it, the entire airline company said no. Then Delta stated via Twitter that leggings were welcome on its flights. Fly Delta. United said in a statement that it does not bar regular female passengers from boarding if they're wearing leggings. Oh, United. They're united on wickedness. Although some public figures like Patricia Arquette and model and actress Krista Teigen were critical of United's decision, a survey. So United, they don't really care. They only care about money, right? So they're like, okay, I don't know what to do. All the celebrities are telling me it's okay. So they did a survey. They surveyed 1,800 travelers. 80% of the respondents said that it's inappropriate clothing and that they want it banned. I'm not saying 80% of fundamental Baptists. I'm saying 80% of travelers in 2017 in America said no. They said it was immodest. You say, what's modesty? Well, I'm pretty sure when you're getting 80% of American travelers to say no, you've crossed the modesty line somewhere, my friend. Oh, this is just Pastor Shelley's opinion. No. You're a weirdo and a pervert if you don't agree with me. Muhammad was a pedophile and a pervert. And let me tell you what, the Jews in Hollywood are perverts. And this is where these extremes are coming from. The Jews and the Muslims. And they're both gross. And they're both pedophiles. The Bible doesn't have all this rampant pedophilia. You know why? Because they teach their women to look like women and to not dress like whores. Don't teach your daughters to dress like whores. Apparently, this article's really worried about it because it's linked some women to being considered slut-shaming or body-shaming. Yeah, you should be slut-shamed for wearing that. The attire of a harlot. I have a lot more, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Let's play some of your turn this morning. Don't let the world tell you how a man and a woman should be. Let the Bible tell you. And never think that the Bible is extreme or radical. The Bible is normal and natural. In fact, everything inside of you is screaming, I agree with Pastor Shelley. It's only the brainwashing that's convinced you otherwise. Because I didn't have to tell you these things. The Bible said, hey, it's nature. Nature is telling you. Look, when women get married, they're not wearing the man suit. They're wearing a beautiful dress. Why? Because they know that it's feminine. And you know what? Women know when they're dressed immodest or they're not. They feel that uncomfortable feeling. They feel a little bit embarrassed. Don't do it. Just don't do it. What's the point in doing it anyways? To gain some kind of attention from men that aren't your husband? Look, I guarantee when you're married, you can get all of his attention whenever you want, okay? But you don't need to garner the attention of, you know, men that aren't your husband. And in fact, when you're not married, you're going to garner a lot of bad guys. A lot of bad men's attraction. And in New York, I saw that rapes are up like 14%. What do you think they're raping? You know, when you look at most rapes, you know where they actually happen? Girls that are in bars, girls that are hanging out at adult gentlemen clubs, girls that are hanging out in the wrong place, dressed in the wrong way, at the wrong time. It's usually not God-fearing women having a Bible study together or something. Okay? It's not them teaching their children at home. It's them going out in promiscuous places, dressed promiscuously. And you know what? I'm not trying to blame the victim here. I'm not trying to say that any woman deserves that. She never deserves that. Kill the rapist, please. But what I am saying is this. Don't put yourself in danger on purpose. Don't put yourself in a compromising situation on purpose. I'm not saying wear a hijab. I'm not saying wear a hijab. I'm not saying wear a blanket over your whole body. Walk around as a teepee or something. Come on. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I'm just telling you, turn off the TV. Now, one note about both of these. Why are they perverted? Why are they weird? Because they both teach work salvation. America teaches work salvation, and Islam teaches work salvation. In fact, let me give you a quote from the Quran. If you avoid the major sins which you are forbidden, we will remove from you your lesser sins and admit you to a noble entrance into paradise. You know, I read that. I'm like, that's modern-day Christianity, isn't it? Well, if you repent of the big sins, as long as you only have the little sins, you can still go to heaven. But you can't have the big ones, right? No. The Bible teaches salvation is a free gift by faith. It's the perfect, normal, natural, everything makes sense. You know, works-based salvation is every other religion. That's why they get these weird, perverted, extreme views when you don't have the Bible. But listen to what happens. You know, I want to make it clear what I've taught and then kind of a concluding statement, okay? Men should have short hair. Women should have long hair. Men and women should be able to read and write. Men and women should be able to drive. As long as the you know, as long as they know how. Okay. They should both be taught too, right? I don't think that, but there is some kind of a dividing line. Women are supposed to usurp authority over the man, so the woman should be in subjection to her husband. I don't think she should be usurping that in the political sphere through voting and government. They shouldn't be the teachers in church. The Bible makes this abundantly clear. The Bible makes it clear that men should dress like men and women should dress like women. There's a difference between men and women. Women are the weaker vessel, but that doesn't make them bad or worse. It makes them different. And we should give honor unto women for being women. And in fact, if you have a woman that's like a woman, she needs extra praise for going against the culture stream that is today. You should feel extra privileged and honored that you have a wife that wants to be a wife today. And you should not look down upon her. Don't call her fertile dirt, okay? And don't try to make her a man. Keep her a woman. And keep her modest and keep her feminine, okay? But what happens if she breaks your rules? What happens if she does wrong? Well, let's talk about Islam for a second. Men are in charge of women by right of what Allah has given one over the other and what they spend for maintenance from their wealth. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. But those wives from whom you fear arrogance, first advise them. So he's saying, if you just are afraid they're a little arrogant, first just give them a warning, okay? Now, up to this point, obviously, Allah's a false, wicked God, but this is kind of what Christianity teaches, doesn't it? That women should be obedient to their husbands and that men should correct their wives, okay? But that's pretty much where the Bible stops. This is where Islam continues. Then if they persist, forsake them in bed. And finally, strike them. But if they obey you once more, seek no means against them. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted and grand. Islam teaches that you should beat your wife. I didn't come up with that. The Bible forbids that. Why in the world would you strike anybody, especially your wife? Okay, a pastor is supposed to be no striker. And you know what? A pastor is an example to all men, whether you're a pastor or not. No men should be strikers. Period. But what does the Quran say? Strike them! What kind of a wicked false religion? And what kind of stupidity? Forsake them in bed? What are you, a fag or something? 1 Corinthians chapter... I don't care how mad I am at my wife. That's a dumb rule. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look at verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other. Notice that the Bible is saying, hey, men, you're actually supposed to submit to your wives in this one area. And if you don't like that one, then you're weird, okay? I like that one. I have 5 children. You're welcome, okay? Say, I need more children. Well, obey the Bible. Now, obviously, you can't control that 100%. God opens and closes the wombs. But you know what? We should do our part. And here's the thing. You know, I will teach and train my wife how to live her life. But you know what? I do it by example, not by striking. You know, men should be leaders, not cruel dictators or something. Or what's the American extreme? Some effeminate, queer-looking dude that lets his wife order him around. I'm not going to do either. I will rule my household. I will lead my wife. But you know what? I'm not going to touch her in any way that would harm her. That is wicked. Okay? And we need to learn the generals. Notice she's the weaker vessel. I give honor unto the weaker vessel. I don't strike the weaker vessel. I don't put down the weaker vessel. And if you don't like my sermon, go to any other church and you won't hear any of these verses. Okay? You won't hear any of these concepts being taught. In fact, you might even sit next to a dude wearing a dress, if you're lucky. So let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God. I pray that we would renew our minds today, that we wouldn't let some wicked false religion come and pervert our views of Christianity, but rather we would let the Bible tell us what to believe. And if we struggle with anything that we heard this morning, that we would decide to just trust in the Lord and just submit ourselves to the Bible, whether we like it or not. And I pray as people in this room would submit to the word of God that you would also give them the understanding, the wisdom of why everything you said is always right. I pray that we'd have men that are more like men in 2022 America, and we'd have women that are more like women in 22 America than ever before, that we would set forth a good example, that we'd be pleasing in your sight, that we wouldn't be a shame and an embarrassment unto you, but rather we would be a glory unto you. And I pray that you would just help us to stay strong and be courageous and bold and not to fall victim to this world's agenda. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
All right, for our last song, we'll go to 119, Till the Storm Passes By. Song 119, Till the Storm Passes By. 119 till the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow will rise, where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Great singing. God bless. You are dismissed.